Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we mentioned earlier in the worship service, this gospel reading that we just heard takes place on that first Easter evening with the disciples and other believers, other early followers of Jesus gathered together in the process of coming to grips with that most unbelievable of news, that Jesus indeed was risen from the dead. And we know from the gospel according to St. John, the reason that they were gathered together there in that place with the doors locked, John's gospel tells us that they did that out of fear of the Jews. That same group of religious and social leaders of the Jewish people and the mob that they aroused who had brought Jesus to the Roman governor and called for his execution. So as we see this group of disciples and other believers, we see that it's not a meeting of heroes planning their bold next step together. Rather, we can imagine that it must have been a fairly grim and somber group that gathered together, primarily with the purpose of saving their own skins from persecution, torture, and death. Now imagine for a minute what might have happened if the news of Jesus' resurrection from the dead had not arrived to them on that Easter Sunday. We can imagine that if Jesus had not risen from the dead, they might perhaps have gone on in that same kind of ritual repetition of hiding together and of remembering the death of Jesus. Maybe they would have gathered every week on a certain day in that same room, silently and secretly away from the watchful eyes of other people, going quietly from their homes early in the morning and gathering there in their hideaway house to talk with each other about the fears that they had and to remember the good times that they had experienced with Jesus in the past. They might have made that into a regular meeting of a memorial of Jesus and their time with him. Maybe they would have remembered the nice things that they had experienced with Jesus, the things that he had said and taught, the wonderful miracles that he had done while he was alive. Maybe they would have gathered together some memorabilia of Jesus' life. Maybe they would have even put up a cross as a reminder of his death. And each week when they came together and listened and remembered, they would gradually get to feel a little bit better about everything that had happened. And then after their meeting together, they would have quietly made their way home again. And nobody else would ever have known that they had been followers of Jesus who had been crucified. After all, what would have been the point for them of testifying to other people that they had been followers of Jesus and just exposing themselves to the threat of persecution and torture and death? After all, Jesus was dead. And so for them, it would have been enough just to meet together, just to remember his life and his legacy, and then go back to their day jobs on Monday morning with a good feeling that at least the memory of Jesus was being kept alive among them, that small group of people who had known and followed. Now contrast that hypothetical scenario with what actually happened when Jesus appeared to them alive. Suddenly that frightened little group gathered together and locked away in secret is now caught up in the joy of the living presence of Jesus their Savior. Where before there had been fear and frustration and trepidation, now there is wonder, amazement, and joy. Where before there must have been quiet apathy that goes together with grief and with uncertainty about what's to come in the future, now there's vital activity. Jesus meets them in person and he confronts them with the reality of his living victory. He offers them gifts that will arm them for life and for death and for eternity. And then he sends them out on his vital mission that he entrusts to them. And so that little fearful group of rememberers now becomes a joyful company of believers and even missionaries, filled with the power and the Holy Spirit of God, going eagerly to the task that he gave to them. Those who had previously been afraid to be seen by others, to be recognized as followers of Jesus, afraid to speak a word to others about him, afraid even to face their own fears, now by the power of the Holy Spirit, they become the very ones through whom God works to transform the world around them. Now here we are, again, in the Easter season. How does our situation, how do our hearts compare with that group of believers on that first Easter day? Do we sometimes give the impression that we are a fearful little group gathering together in secret, silent disciples of Jesus, hiding from the world to hold a memorial service together for Jesus? Is it possible that we have heard about Jesus rising from the tomb, but then, in essence, we turn around and we essentially put him back in the tomb there in the distant past or locked away here in this church? Is this place where we come to find Jesus, to remember him, to make ourselves feel a little bit better for a little while, and then quietly go back to our daily lives, our Monday morning lives, distant from here and this place? No, of course not. Our worship is not simply a memorial service for a good man named Jesus who once lived a long time ago. This gathering is not just a gathering of rememberers in a place where the lifeless body of Jesus has been entombed. Think about the gospel that we read on Easter morning when the women arrived at the tomb of Jesus early in the morning before the dawn, and an angel met them with this message: "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here, but go, tell." Well, of course, there is no angel that is appearing to us today, at least not yet this morning. But the message of that Easter angel is still here with us, with that same good news and with that same commission, with that same mission for us to carry out. Jesus is not dead and buried here. He doesn't wait in this place for us to come to him and for us to remember him. He's alive. He's out there. He's out there in the world, in the places where we live, and where we work and where we interact with others. He has risen. Now go and tell. So we don't come here to remember a dead Jesus. Rather, we come here to join together with those first disciples in the celebration of his resurrection from the dead. The message is not he was alive, but he is alive. And he meets us personally, just as he met those disciples on that first Easter. He comes to us in his word and in his sacrament. He comes to us in his own body and blood, which we are about to receive for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith in him. His words are here. He is alive. We can hear him, we can touch him, we can eat and drink together with him. And so how can we do anything else but respond with that same wonder and joy that those first disciples experienced on that first Easter day? If our worship service together is only a solemn remembering of Jesus, then the true meaning of Easter is lost. And more than that, everything is lost. As the Apostle Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is pointless, and your faith is pointless. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So in our Easter worship, we're involved in a restatement. Together with those early disciples, together with all the Christians of all the centuries between then and now, we're involved together with them in a restatement of the joyful wonder that we experience when we know that He has indeed risen from the dead, that He is alive, that He is at work right now, here in our hearts, here among us as we gather around His word and sacrament, and in the world around us. We join together with them in the joy of knowing that He has secured for us the promise of life that not even death can take away from us. So like those early disciples who were gathered together on that Easter morning, our worship together expresses our joy in this good news. And then it receives from Jesus two treasures that He has for us. The first is offered to us through His word. It's the gift of understanding and of power by the coming of the Holy Spirit to us through this good news. So it's not like we gather here together for worship service on a Sunday out of some kind of dutiful service to try to pay our dues to satisfy what God demands, but rather we come here to receive free gifts of His grace. Through these gifts of the Holy Spirit, He makes us alive with Jesus. He gives us the understanding and the power to do the will of our Savior. And that leads to the other treasure, the other gift that God gives to us here, and it's a task. It's a mission. But it's, again, not some kind of obligation by which we try to earn God's favor or blessing, by which during this hour and a quarter of our time, we try to pay off some debt that we feel that we owe to God. Well, instead, it's a joyful task that gives us special purpose and meaning for our lives. That Jesus has invited us to join together with Him, to join together with that group of bold and fearless disciples to do the simple task that He has given us to do. Simple task of telling others about Him, but through which He promises amazing results to change the hearts and lives of people, and person by person, and so doing to change the whole world as we bear witness to the truth and the blessings that flow from His resurrection. Jesus said, "Repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations." And so we see there that that's not a call from Jesus to some vague attempt to tell other people something about Him once in a while. He's not just telling us to increase our mission offerings so that other people can go in our place, although that is an important thing to do, but rather He's calling us to devote ourselves, our whole lives, to this mission that He has called us to this great commission of letting other people know that He is alive, that He is with us now, not only now, but also for all eternity. And we tell this good news of His salvation through our lives, through sharing the hope and the joy that we have in our hearts because of His forgiveness and love for us. We tell it by our ability to forgive each other and to reflect His love to each other, accepting one another, warts and all, just as we have been forgiven and accepted by God. We tell it by our ministry of love to one another, by the words of salvation, of love and forgiveness and comfort from God that are on our lips. In all these ways, we tell the miraculous truth that Jesus is indeed alive, that he is at work here among us and in the world. He's at work through us, who are his witnesses. The angel said, "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Go and spread this joy of Easter."